Dennis E. Staples is a writer from the Bemidji area and member of the Red Lake Nation. His debut novel, This Town Sleeps, was published in 2020, a thrilling story taking place in northern Minnesota, blending Ojibwe legends with the modern world, and featuring Marion Lafournier, a mid-20s gay Ojibwe man whose family has ties to sacred power. Marion's story continues in Dennis's new novel, Passing Through a Prairie Country. In this story, fresh from a breakup with his boyfriend, Marion heads out of town for a break and stops at the hidden Atlantis Lake Resort and Casino, where he is reacquainted with his cousins Alana and Sherry, and has an encounter with a dark force known as the Sandman. Dennis begins our What We're Reading conversation with what led him to becoming a writer.
I grew up in and around the Leech Lake Reservation area, Cass Lake in Bemidji. Went to school Cass Lake my whole life. I went to Bemidji State University for college, and I lived in Bemidji while I was doing my master's degree. I think the earliest I can remember thinking of myself as a writer, I was about in fifth grade, kind of making notes about different books I wanted to write. It was mostly just lists of chapter names that sounded cool to me, just basic story arcs. And then in sixth grade, one of my teachers recommended me for this program. It was like a writer's enthusiast kind of meeting. I think it might have been held in Thief River Falls. We met a few different northern Minnesota authors there. I remember meeting a writer named Mary Casanova, who does some children's books with a lot of animal themes. And that got me really excited and motivated to be a writer. But it was kind of on and off all through middle school and high school after that. And then it wasn't until about my second year of college, which would have been my first year at BSU, that I was thinking, you know, this is definitely the path and like the education direction I'm going to go in from here on.
This Town Sleeps was your first book, published in 2020. That's where we were first introduced to your character, Marion Lafournier, who is featured in your new book, Passing Through a Prairie Country. Can you tell us how this new book came about?
I did kind of scrap a previous idea that would go in a similar direction. It would go back into these families' past. I would build it out more and slowly move toward more like overt magical realism, supernaturalism genre. But in between signing the first book in about 2018 or so and mid-lockdown, I started having this other short story idea because I was reading a lot more horror then. And somewhere in all that, I pivoted to what the current novel became. And it was a lot less expansive as far as family trees and kind of solidified dynastic family tree stories, and more of a modern, bit more compact, but a friend of mine said ambitious, a much more ambitious modern kind of novel with a horror twist that I really thought I could deliver on.
The characters in Passing Through a Prairie Country, they each encounter a dark force at the hidden Atlantis Lake Resort and Casino. What a great location for a haunting. This dark force is known in your story as the Sandman. What can you tell us about the Sandman?
I guess without getting a little too spoilery, the very beginnings of this presence in the book came from when I was in my undergrad years. I took a myth class that involved reading a lot of Ojibwe and Greek myths. So for Greeks, it was the classic plays, the Fury cycle, some early poems and all that. And then when we moved into the Ojibwe section, some of the books necessarily had to be a modern kind of scholars compilation of tales. And I found a few different moments in this one book called Wisconsin Chippewa Myths and Tales by Victor Barno, where it describes some of the common tropes that were found in a lot of the stories. And some of them had to do with what would basically be like an anti-medicine man and an anti-shaman. It takes the shape of a malevolent old man figure who he kind of binds his will over his victims and kind of traps them in a bit of a like a distorted reality. I don't have better terminology for this, but like an anti-vision quest, a nightmare quest. What the book says about it is that their interpretation is that this comes from the Ojibwe not liking bossy people, and so the part of the psychology there is that that this figure who has like the trappings of a trusted advisor back then, that very much the opposite. They're not your spiritual guide. They are out to get you. They're out to own you, own your soul, all that. And from that trope, I started thinking about what would happen if that kind of presence is unleashed on a casino, because I had a lot of long hours working grave shifts at casinos. But I personally have never seen anything you could consider supernatural there. I heard a lot of, stories of guards, people late at night, either in the hotel, on the grounds, and oh, what was that? I'm like, in order to get scared from these ghosts, I kind of gotta make up some that I think will be a bit scarier.
So, yeah, the story is quite scary. It's also very evocative and atmospheric. You can really feel yourself in the casino with its flashing lights and electronic sounds. And there are scenes where the characters, and I think the readers too, don't always know if they can trust what's being presented to them. But this makes the story very thrilling. Can you talk about writing to that effect where we can't always trust what we're seeing?
It's a hard thing to navigate, but I think that there's a few different authors that kind of help me move toward that way. Thomas Ligotti, who does a lot of supernatural horror fiction, and John Cheever, a short story writer. He has a famous one called The Swimming Man. And these have this like really broken up narratives that will kind of present you scenes in almost montage fashion, but at the same time, you're following this one thread. So the hallucinatory aspect kind of was informed by a lot of that, the like just the rush of not knowing who, where, what, all of that, but kind of going with it because you don't really know what else to do at that point.
I think it's always interesting to see how much a writer identifies with their characters. How much of your own story do you put into your books?
I try and split it up. So like Marion, he doesn't have any siblings. I have a lot of siblings. That was a conscious choice to try and make him a little different than me. But for all of them, I try and own in on something that I can sort of relate to. So like recently, I was asked about this for one of the characters, Glenn. He was kind of whole cloth. He's a one of my characters that stole the show after like a very basic idea of what he would be. But a lot of his nerves and his confidence at like how he tackles this world, it was informed a bit about some of my more like the not easier parts of coming out and all of that. So some of Glenn's fears, I guess you could say, were informed there with Alana. Some of it was just overconfidence, I could say. Like if you're just blindly running into a situation, some of that, I guess, I did with Alana. So it's just a matter of like kind of picking one emotional hotspot or emotional cue, and then just thinking about if I'd have a if I'd had similar circumstances here and there, and then just pushing the character that way, seeing what'll happen.
Dennis Staples' new novel is Passing Through a Prairie Country. It's What We're Reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski.